Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into a topic that's been generating a lot of buzz lately: autonomous vehicle safety.
It's a hot topic for sure.
And we've got some really interesting source material to dig into for this one. We have a blog post from NVIDIA about a panel discussion they held at their recent AI summit.
Oh, nice.
And even better, we actually have the audio from that panel discussion. So we can hear from these experts directly, which is always way more engaging than just reading a summary.
Absolutely. Hearing those different perspectives firsthand and the nuances in their voices really adds another layer of understanding. Where should we start?
So why don't we let's start with something that really stuck out to me. Just how crucial the issue of safety is in this whole conversation about self-driving cars. And Danny Shapiro, he's the VP of Automotive at NVIDIA, lays out this really sobering statistic right at the beginning of the panel.
Yeah, the fact that over 1 million people die on roads globally each year, I mean, that's a staggering number. It really puts things in perspective, right?
It does. It makes you realize just how high the stakes are. And, it's easy to get caught up in all the excitement about the technology and the potential for, more efficient transportation and all that. But when you hear a number like that, it really brings home the point that this isn't just about convenience or cool gadgets.
Exactly. And the panel really emphasizes that human error is a major factor in those accidents, right? Whether it's distracted driving, impaired driving, or even just drowsiness.
And so the hope is that AI can kind of step in and be this much more reliable driver, essentially. But how do you even go about, creating an AI that can navigate our crazy roads? I mean, it seems like such a massive undertaking.
Well, Shapiro explains that NVIDIA is using this three-computer system for their autonomous vehicle development. So you have one computer that's dedicated to training the AI, then another one that's all about simulation and validation.
So testing it out, essentially.
Exactly. Making sure it can handle all sorts of different situations and make the right decisions. And then finally, you have the computer that's actually on board the vehicle making those real-time decisions out on the road.
So it's kind of like a teacher-student driver situation. You've got the teacher training the student practicing in a simulator, and then finally getting behind the wheel in the real world.
Perfect analogy. But developing the AI, the tech, that's only one piece of the puzzle. What about all the legal and regulatory hurdles? I mean, this is uncharted territory in a lot of ways. Who's responsible when an AI makes a mistake?
It's a great question. And that's where things get really interesting.
Yeah.
Mark Roskind, he's the former administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The NHTSA?
Right, the NHTSA. He kind of breaks down the complexities of the current regulatory landscape. And it's a bit of a wild west out there, to be honest.
Yeah, he paints a pretty fascinating, if not a little chaotic, picture. And basically what he says is, you've got federal regulations that tend to focus on the vehicle itself. You know, is it mechanically sound? Does it meet safety standards? Things like that. But then you have state regulations that are more concerned with the operator. Think driver's licenses, insurance, those kinds of things.
So how does that even work when the driver isn't AI?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Roskind points out that this fragmented approach, where you've got this patchwork of federal and state regulations,
Yeah.
it has led to a lot of confusion and inconsistency across the country. And this obviously creates a ton of challenges for companies trying to develop and deploy self-driving cars.
So you can imagine, right, if you're a company like, let's say, Waymo or Cruise or one of those companies trying to roll out a fleet of robotaxis or something, you have to navigate like this whole maze of federal rules for the vehicles themselves, and then this like patchwork of state laws for things like licensing and insurance. It sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It definitely adds another layer of complexity to an already complex situation.
It does. But despite these challenges, some companies are really diving headfirst into this uncharted territory. And one company that really stood out in the panel discussion was ZUKS. Have you heard of them?
ZUKS, yes. They're taking this really bold approach. I mean, they're building autonomous vehicles from the ground up, specifically designed for autonomy. No steering wheels, no pedals. It's like stepping into a self-driving pod. They are really betting big on the future of driverless transportation.
That's a huge gamble, right? It seems like they're not even trying to like adapt existing cars to work with self-driving technology. They're completely reimagining what a vehicle can be in this new world.
Exactly. They're not just dipping their toes in the water, they're diving right in.
They're going all in. Well, and it's interesting, right? Because they're actually using NVIDIA's technology.
That's right.
For both of the AI training and the systems that are actually in their vehicles.
So they're putting their money where their mouth is. And Rosekind even tells this really heartwarming story about his 104-year-old mother-in-law.
Well, I'm taking a ride in one of CKS vehicles. And she loved it. Initially, she was a bit apprehensive, you know, at that age, who wouldn't be?
Sure.
But the experience totally won her over. And I think that speaks volumes.
Mm.
Sometimes the best way to overcome those fears and skepticism is through firsthand experience.
It's like anything new. You kind of have to try it to really understand it, right?
Exactly.
But, I mean, I'm sure there's still a lot of people out there who have, you know, valid concerns about the safety of self-driving cars. What were some of the big ones that came up during the discussion?
Well, you know, the elephant in the room is always going to be safety. Can these cars really handle all sorts of situations, including unexpected ones?
Yeah.
Will they make the right decisions when it comes to protecting passengers and pedestrians? I mean, we're talking about handing over control to a machine.
Right.
And that requires a huge leap of faith. So how do we build that trust?
Yeah, I mean, how do you even begin to address those safety concerns in a way that makes people feel comfortable? Well, I think a big part of it is transparency. You know, being open about how these systems are being developed and tested.
Oh, okay.
And really demonstrating the rigor that goes into making sure they're safe. And that's why I think the work that's being done with the Digital Proving Ground is so important. It's not just about telling people, trust us, this is safe.
Right.
It's about showing them the evidence.
That is.
Letting them see how these systems are being tested against all sorts of real-world scenarios, how they're learning, how they're improving. That kind of transparency can go a long way in building confidence.
It's about showing your work.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of just giving people the answer and saying, take our word for it.
Exactly.
But safety is, you know, it's just one piece of the puzzle. What about the broader societal impacts of this technology?
Right, the ripple effects.
Exactly.
Well, one of the big ones that always comes up is job displacement.
Yeah, what happens to all the truck drivers and taxi drivers?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you have self-driving trucks and taxis, that could potentially put millions of people out of work.
Right.
It's a legitimate concern. We've seen automation disrupt other industries, so it's understandable that people are worried about what this means for the transportation sector.
And what about the ethical considerations? Like,
yeah.
How do you even program a machine to make moral judgments?
Yeah.
What if it's faced with a situation where there's no good outcome?
Those are tough questions.
They are.
And I don't think anyone has all the answers yet.
Right.
But it's a conversation we need to be having. How do we ensure that these AI systems are aligned with our values?
Right.
How do we build in those ethical safeguards? It's a work in progress, but it's something that a lot of really smart people are thinking about very carefully.
It feels like we're kind of on the cusp of this technological revolution, but we're still grappling with all these really big questions about what it means for society.
It is a bit like the Wild West out there, isn't it? A lot of uncharted territory.
It is.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so exciting.
It does.
So much potential for good, but also, you know, some potential pitfalls that we need to be really mindful of.
Absolutely.
Well, I think this is a great place to pause for now. Let's take a break and then come back and continue this discussion in our next episode.
Sounds good. I'm really curious to hear what else these experts had to say.
Me too. This is definitely a conversation that needs to continue.
Agreed. It's interesting, you know, we're talking about all of this like cutting edge technology and all these really complex regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to forget that, you know, the success of autonomous vehicles ultimately hinges on public trust.
Yeah, I mean, you can have the safest, most advanced self-driving car in the world.
Right.
But if people are too afraid to get in it, what's the point, right?
Exactly. And I think that's where the story of ZUKS is so fascinating because they're really thinking about the whole rider experience, not just, you know, the nuts and bolts of the technology.
It's a good point, right? Because they're building these vehicles without steering wheels or pedals,
mm-hmm.
which for a lot of people is probably like a really big mental hurdle to overcome.
It is. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. There's no steering wheel. There's no way for me to take control if something goes wrong.
Right, exactly.
But remember Rosekind's story about his mother-in-law?
Oh, yeah.
Who was initially, you know, very hesitant.
Of course.
But then ended up absolutely loving the experience.
No.
I think it highlights how powerful firsthand experience can be
Totally.
in shaping people's perceptions.
It's like anything new and different, you kind of have to try it for yourself to really wrap your head around it.
You do.
But I imagine there's still a lot of people out there with, valid concerns about safety and all the other implications of this technology. What were some of the big ones that came up in the panel discussion?
Well, safety is obviously always going to be, top of mind for people. They want to know, can these vehicles really handle all sorts of situations, especially unexpected ones?
Right, because human drivers are unpredictable.
Exactly. So can an AI anticipate those kinds of, curveballs?
Yeah.
Will it make the right decisions when it comes to protecting passengers and pedestrians? It's a lot to ask.
It is. So, I mean, how do we address those concerns in a way that actually makes people, feel better about getting into one of these cars?
I think a big part of it is being transparent
Okay.
about, how these systems are developed, how they're tested,
Mm.
showing people the rigor that goes into making sure they're safe.
Okay.
That's why the work being done with the Digital Proving Ground is so important.
Right, because it's not just about saying, trust us, this is safe.
Exactly.
It's about actually showing the evidence.
It's letting people see, how are these systems being tested against, real-world scenarios? How are they learning? How are they improving?
Right.
That kind of transparency can, I think, go a long way in building confidence.
It's like, show your work instead of just giving the answer and saying, like, believe us.
Exactly.
But, safety is just one piece of this, right? There are all these other, societal impacts that we have to think
The
about.
ripple effects, yeah.
Yeah, the ripple effects.
Yeah, one of the big ones that always comes up is jobs.
What happens to all the truck drivers, the taxi drivers?
Exactly. If you have self-driving trucks and taxis,
Yeah.
that could potentially put millions of people out of work. It's
Not.
a real concern. We've seen automation, disrupt other industries. So it's understandable that people are worried about what this means for the transportation sector.
It's a huge part of our economy.
It is.
And then, there's also like all these ethical questions, right? Like, how do you program a machine to make moral judgments? What if a self-driving car is faced with a situation where like there's no good outcome?
Right.
Like, how do you can't program for every possible scenario.
You can't.
So how do they make those kinds of decisions?
Those are the tough questions.
They are.
And I don't think anyone has all the answers yet,
Right.
but it's a conversation we need to be having as a society.
We do.
How do we make sure that these systems are aligned with our values?
Right.
How do we build in like ethical safeguards? It's a work in progress, but it's something that a lot of really smart people are thinking about very carefully.
It's almost like we're at this point where we have this incredibly powerful technology, but we're still trying to figure out like what
Yeah.
the instruction manual is.
It is. It's like we've got this amazing new gadget, but we haven't quite figured out all the settings yet.
Right,
And
exactly.
the stakes are pretty high
Yeah.
because we're not just talking about, like a new smartphone or something. We're
Nah.
talking about machines that could potentially, be making life or death decisions.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes this whole conversation so important.
It is.
It's not just about the technology itself. It's about all these bigger questions
The implications.
about, how we want to live, what kind of future we want to build.
Absolutely.
And I think what's really encouraging is that, the people who are working on this technology, they seem to be really aware of these bigger
You
questions.
do.
They're not just, heads down coders who are just focused on the technical challenges.
Right.
They're actually thinking about the ethical implications, the societal impacts.
We're thinking about the big picture,
Yeah.
which is, I think, really important.
It is. It gives me hope that, we can get this right, that we can harness this technology for good.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a lot of thought, a lot of discussion, a lot of collaboration
It will.
to make sure that happens.
Absolutely. It can't just be the engineers and the tech companies making all the decisions.
Right.
This is something that affects all of us, so we all need to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, we need to have those tough conversations and really grapple with these complex
We
issues if
do.
we want
Yeah.
to create a future where this technology is truly beneficial for everyone.
I agree. And I think, one of the ways we can do that is through initiatives like the digital proving ground, because it's not just a place to test the technology, it's also a platform for collaboration where researchers, engineers, policymakers can all come together, share their knowledge, and work together to shape the future of autonomous vehicles.
It's like creating a safe space to experiment
It is.
and to really push the boundaries of what's possible while also keeping, safety and ethical considerations front and center.
Exactly. It's about finding that balance, right?
Yeah, finding that boundary.
Between innovation and responsibility.
It's tricky.
It is, but it's
It
essential.
is. Well, we've talked a lot about the technical side of things, the regulatory challenges, the ethical considerations. But there's another piece of this puzzle that I think is really important,
What's that?
and that's public perception.
Right, because at the end of the day, if people don't trust this technology,
Yeah.
if they're not comfortable with it, it's not going to succeed.
Exactly.
So how do we bridge that gap between, the technology and the people who will actually be using it?
That's a great question. And, part of it, I think, is just education, right?
Yeah.
Helping people understand how these systems work.
Right, demystifying the technology a little bit.
Yeah, demystifying it, but also, addressing people's fears and anxieties in a way that's honest and transparent.
Absolutely, because there are real risks.
There are.
And we can't just brush those under the rug.
Right, we have to acknowledge them.
We do, and we have to have like an open and honest conversation about how we mitigate those risks.
Exactly.
But I think, beyond education, there's also this element of experience.
Right.
Just like with Rosekind's mother-in-law, sometimes the best way to overcome fear or skepticism
Yeah.
is to actually try something for yourself.
To experience it firsthand.
Exactly. So,
Yeah.
as these self-driving systems become more widely available, maybe in pilot programs or limited deployments, I think it's going to be really important to create opportunities for people to try them out in a safe and controlled environment.
Absolutely, because once people see for themselves how this technology works, how it can actually make their lives easier and safer,
Yeah.
I think that's when you'll start to see a real shift in public perception.
It's that firsthand experience that really changes people's minds.
It does.
Well, this has been a really fascinating conversation that
Yeah.
we've covered a lot of ground.
We have a lot of different perspectives, a
Yeah.
lot of different challenges.
Yeah. But I think what's really clear is that this is a technology that's here to stay.
It is.
And it's going to have a profound impact on our lives.
Absolutely.
So we need to be prepared to grapple with all of the complexities and the challenges that come along with it.
We do. And we need to be having these
You
conversations to
do.
make sure that this technology is developed and deployed responsibly.
Well said. Well, I think this is a good place to pause for now.
Okay.
And we can pick up this conversation in our next episode.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
As we're having this conversation, what keeps coming to mind for me is this whole idea of explainability. Like, how do we actually make sense of the decisions that these AI systems are making, especially when those decisions, could have really, really big consequences in the real world.
It is a fundamental challenge with AI, right? I mean, if a human driver makes a mistake, you can ask them why. You can
Well,
investigate their state of mind, their perception of the situation. But with AI, it can often feel like this black box.
totally, totally, and that lack of transparency can be like really unsettling, especially when you're talking about something as potentially, life-altering as driving.
Think about it this way. Like, let's say you go to the doctor and they prescribe you a new medication.
Okay.
You're going to want to know, what it is, how it works, what the potential side effects are. You wouldn't just like blindly trust them, right? You want some explanation. It's the same with AI. We need to be able to understand the why behind the decisions, not just, the what.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's so true, right? Like we demand that level of understanding and transparency in other areas of our lives. So why should it be any different with something as impactful as AI?
Exactly. And that's why, this whole area of research around data attribution is so important.
Tell me more about that.
Well, it's basically, like trying to give us a peek inside that black box, right? Okay.
So it allows us to trace the AI's decisions back to the data that it was trained on.
Yeah.
So if something goes wrong, you can potentially, identify the root cause and fix it. It's about creating a system of accountability, which is crucial for building trust.
So if a self-driving car like makes a sudden maneuver or does something unexpected,
Right.
you could potentially like go back and see what specific data points led to that decision.
Exactly. It's like having a breadcrumb trail back to the AI's thought process. And that level of transparency could be game-changing, not just for safety, but for our overall understanding of how these systems work.
It kind of reminds me of like aircraft accident investigations, right? Where they have the
I've
black
heard.
boxes that record everything so they can like piece together what happened. Data attribution is almost like a black box for AI. But instead of just recording what happened, it helps us understand like why it happened.
I love that comparison. That's a great way to think about it. And just like with those site reporters, this kind of data could be invaluable in improving safety and preventing future accidents.
It feels like we're at this really interesting moment in time where we have this incredibly powerful technology, but we're still like figuring out how to understand it, how to regulate it, how to integrate it into society in a way that's actually beneficial for everyone.
It's a process.
It is a process.
And it requires, a lot of dialogue, a lot of
Yeah.
collaboration. And that's why I think these partnerships, like the one between, NVIDIA, MITRE, and Mycity,
Yeah.
are so encouraging because they're bringing together experts from all these different fields to tackle these challenges head on.
And the digital proving ground is such a great example of that.
It is.
Right? Like it's not just about testing the technology, it's about creating this space where researchers, engineers, policymakers can all work together to kind of shape the future of autonomous vehicles.
And the fact that they're using real-world crash data,
Yeah.
to test these systems, I think, makes it even more valuable.
Totally.
It's about, learning from the past to create a safer future.
And it feels like a step towards greater transparency, right? Because by testing these systems in a controlled environment and using data attribution to understand their decisions, we're moving away from that trust us mentality and more towards like an evidence-based approach.
And that's how you build public trust,
Right.
right? People need to feel like they understand this technology and
Yeah.
that it's being developed responsibly. And that's, I think, how we move beyond, the fear and the skepticism and start to see the real potential of autonomous vehicles.
Totally. Well, this has been such a fascinating deep dive.
It
I
is.
mean, we've covered so much ground today, the technology, the regulations, the ethics, the public perception.
It's a lot to take in, but it's such a multifaceted issue.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've only just scratched the surface.
We have, but it's so exciting to think about all the possibilities and all the challenges that we need to work through to really make this vision of a safer, more efficient, and maybe even a more equitable transportation system a reality.
It's a vision worth striving for.
It is.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure exploring this topic with you today.
Likewise.
And thanks to all of you out there for joining us on this deep dive.
Yes, thank you.
We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of the world of AI.